You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we're talking about what gets in the way of real and honest happiness. You know, I think it's an interesting question because a lot of times we feel that happiness is elusive, like it's something that we can't find, like it's something that only exists for a select few. And tonight, Juan and I are going to try to figure out exactly what tends to get in the way of being honestly happy.
Hey, Ashley, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Happy?
I am happy.
Nice, nice. Did you choose to be happy today?
I did choose to be happy today.
What did you do special that you chose?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, because a lot of times it is really just a choice. I chose to be happy. I could have woken up in a bad mood. I didn't get that much sleep. I was dealing with my dog up all night long. But I kind of redirected my energy. I had some interesting things happen the night before. But I was able to kind of just sit back and just say, hey, you know, that happened and I'm going to move past that.
Wow. So ultimately it is a choice, huh?
I think it is.
I think same here. I had plenty disturbances in my way. Like I had an agenda that I wanted to accomplish this morning. I had to be a court at a certain time. I had to do certain things at a certain time. And traffic was impeding me to get to you faster, Ashley.
Really?
But, you know, it is about my attitude towards the moment that I'm living that allows me to decide whether I'm going to put myself down or keep myself up. It is the awareness of the moment and the gratefulness of the moment that will allow you to accept reality for what it is and not look past the moment that is right now, because you don't ever know if you'll have tomorrow.
That is so true. And I think a lot of times we don't think about that as the human condition is. It's like you get stuck in the fact that, you know, everything's going to be the same. Tomorrow will be here. The next day will be here, and on and so forth. And we forget the fact that that's not always the case, and that things do go, and that change is the one thing that is paramount. It's always going to be change. There's always going to be things that change in your life.
You know, when I asked you what the topic of conversation was, and you told me what impedes happiness or what blocks our ability to be happy, it kind of caught me off guard, because at the time, I was very stressed out. Something had got wrong with my camera. Something had got wrong with the crew back at TruthNet. You know, classes coming up all together, crunch time, my parents. And at the moment when you called me, it's like, hey, we're going to talk about this, this, and that. It truly made me reflect. It truly made me reflect. Why is it that I'm upset right now? Like, if I can't choose happiness, why is it that I choose to be not happy? And I realized that the basic issue, concepts that most people have in common is that when they are happy people, is that they accept. Acceptance is the ability to accept the moment. And those that that you surround yourself with, often so many people base their own happiness on external coordinates or their kids, for example. Oh, my kid is not amazing like I want him to be, or like I am. Or vice versa, the kid is like, I don't feel accepted because my dad, and therefore causing so many conflicts within the house that ultimately puts both of them down, you know?
It's true. It's interesting how we put a lot of requirements on our happiness, right? Like there's like these requirements, like, are these things happening in my life? Does this work? Is this not working? Is my kid a successful kid at school? Is my family a really great family? Is my wife there for me? Is my husband there for me? And I think that's part of, you know, what we really want to talk about tonight is, first off, is kind of those limitations that we put to happiness, because there has to be like certain strings attached. You know, like everything has to go the way that we want it to go, or it's not good. It's not perfect. It's not the way we saw it to be. Instead, that's not the way that I want it to be, and that's not the way that was supposed to go down, so not that happy about it. You know, I'm going to get angry. I'm going to, like, you know, get upset. I'm going to take a walk down the block, and I'm going to go figure it out. But at the same time, it's funny how if we just allow things to be the way they are, we could probably be a lot happier. It's just interesting how we put so many, like, projections on that happiness.
It's actually quite accurate. We're always projecting on other people's dreams. We're always projecting on what would this person think of me rather than what should I make him think of me? Because it is up to us to become who we are, and we really become the potential of ourselves if we allow ourselves to be happy, because in that state of mind, we allow ourselves to be creative. We allow ourselves to think outside the box. We're actually manufactured to operate under a certain kilohertz, which is, I don't remember the exact number, but it is the vibration of happiness. And under that happiness, it is when tests have been made that humans are able to achieve their full potential themselves, whether artists, singers, painters. It is the moments in that they're happy, that they're able to think outside the box and say, hey, you know what? I finally figured out why it is that you were, you know, stressing the other day, or that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to. It's because I wasn't thinking rationally, because my stress was getting to me, you know?
Stress is an interesting thing, and stress causes, the funniest thing about stress is that it really does cause you to gain weight, which is a sidebar of stress. A lot of people don't realize that cortisol does help you gain weight. It helps you retain water and gain and hold on to fat. But on the other side of stress, I mean, I think that there can be some good stress. I mean, some stress that, you know, can be beneficial as far as getting things done. But in the same regimen, I think there can be some stress that can be almost ego driven. And that's what I want to talk about right now, is the concept of the ego. And how the ego really is determined to make us really quite unhappy for the most part, because it doesn't want us to see the actual connection that we have with others. So it doesn't allow us to see the connection. Like, for example, if my ego was at normal overdrive that most of society's ego is at, you and I wouldn't be in the studio. Mm-hmm. Because I would be better than you, or you'd be better than me, and we wouldn't see eye to eye, and there'd be all this division between us, and we'd just be like, it's just not worth it.
Yep, and the thing is that, why are we here together? I mean, I'm from a different demographic than you are. I'm a male, you're a woman.
I'm glad we figured that out.
You've experienced, you know, maybe double my life at this point. You grew up in a different country than I did, and what is it that, you know, allows us to be here? You know, what is it that allows us to get through the barriers that, you know, I have so much more experience than you, Juan. Why would you sit right next to me and do a show with me when you're only a college kid?
Right.
What allows us to transcend through that? Through those things.
That's interesting. You know, I think a lot of it's because, you know, we don't see it that way. I've worked really hard on literally silencing my ego, and I've worked really hard on checking out my thoughts and being able to understand what I'm thinking and why. And a lot of the reasons why we're very unhappy is that thoughts, the thoughts that are going on in our head that are actually perceiving things a certain way. For example, probably a really good reason why a lot of people don't work with people that are of different demographics, especially younger demographics that are already established, because they're scared that that person's going to come in and take their spot. Mm-hmm. Let's just think about reality. And that's what some of the things that's so funny is that you have these people that create these really great concepts in life, but yet they're centered all around yes men. Okay, because they get these people together, and then those people don't want to lose their positions, and so they just tell that person that everything they're doing is fine. But it takes somebody to not be thinking about ego and to also accept the fact that you might learn something from other people, that you allow other people to come into your life. And I think it's funny, because if you really look at this industry as a whole, this is a rarity. This is beyond rare. People don't do this. It's great, right?
Mm-hmm. I love it. I learned so much from you. I'm sure I have some things to offer from the new upcoming generation that, you know, you can adopt, and, you know, we learn from each other that way. Acceptance of who we are, where we're at, accepting of the person, of who they are and where they're at. And if you can accept those things, for example, don't tell anybody, but I'm going on a date with a cougar. She accepts me for being 24.
Oh, are you really 24?
Yeah.
God bless you.
Can you believe that?
That's really cool. Okay, cool.
But anyways.
24. I thought you were 18.
I have a couple facial hairs under my nose.
A little bit here. It's not bad.
But you nailed it, though, with your show, because ultimately what we're talking about here is perspectives. Perspectives on where you're at and where you want to go. You know, you're not promised tomorrow. Yesterday was already gone. All you have is right now. And in this time, your heart keeps beating, your thoughts keep going, your emotions keep running, your legs keep functioning. And you know what? There's people that don't have legs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's people that don't have the ability to, you know, talk or see.
There's people that have disease that are in the hospital 24/7.
But the question is, are those people less happy?
And that's interesting. And then it also puts in perspective, if you're not dealing with those type of ailments and those type of conditions, why are you not happy? I mean, sometimes, you know, it's not until you walk into a place where people are fighting for their life do you start realizing that, man, you might have been taking your life for granted. You might have been taking your health for granted. And that's something that I want to talk more about. I also want to get into in the next segment and throughout this hour is talk about our concept of perceptions and assumptions based on the fact of how we assume and perceive other people's lives and other people to be so much happier than we are. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we're talking about what gets in the way of us having honest and feeling honestly happy in our life. You know, a lot of times we don't even realize what it is. We're very unhappy. We don't understand why. We don't understand why it seems that everybody else is happy and we're not. And it becomes crucial to try to figure out to understand ourselves. And right before the break, Juan and I were talking about the concept of dealing with ego and how the ego is one of those things that really sets apart everybody from everybody else. Meaning, i.e., I'm not the same as them. They're not the same as me. They're not as good as me, or I'm not as good as them. And so it's this whole concept of putting division between other people, which makes us not want to work with others, which makes us not play well with others, and which makes us feel, you know, there's something going on all the time, i.e. that person's after something, so I really don't want to align myself. And I think that when you're able to overlook that and realize that that's all part of the ego, it's all part of something that's not true, we realize that it's based on our perception. And when we perceive things to be a certain way, we usually perceive our way right out of happiness.
Indeed, perception is all of it. And those that run wild with their ego really high should look at the example and the life testimony of Nick Vujicic. He's a motivational speaker. He was on TED, and he talks all over the world about his condition. He was actually born with no arms. He has no arms. When they asked him whether life is happy, or whether in life he's happy or not, he says that it was actually his choice. He says, many people think I can't live normal life because I don't have arms or legs. I could choose to believe that and give up trying. I could stay at home and wait for others to take care of me. Instead, I choose to believe that I can do anything. And I always try to do things my own way. I choose to be happy. I am happy because I'm always thankful.
That's awesome.
He's letting go of his ego right there.
That's awesome.
Because even him, he could sit there and, you know, pretend that everybody should take care of him and, you know, get attention that way. You know, people choose sometimes their deficiencies or their less desirable attributes as ways to, you know, feed their ego, you know. And he absolutely doesn't do that. He chooses to learn all these things, and he chooses with his perspective to be happy and says, you know what? I'm going to get up today and I'm going to tie my shoes with my teeth. And he does it.
That's pretty cool.
That's incredible. So it just goes to show that limitations are only concepts of the mind.
Mind-made limitations.
Mm-hmm. Limitations are definitely concepts of the mind. I was actually watching a show on the power of the mind, Red Bull. They have a compartment or a department called Human Performance. And you know how Red Bull now basically makes money of advertising rather than selling their product and whatnot. But in this lab, the CEO was talking about how they push their athletes to push forward. And the only way they do it is that in those moments where they cannot go any further, they remind them that they actually can go further. And
that's
so
cool.
They're having athletes hold their breath for 15 minutes. How is that possible? Before, the record was like 6 minutes.
That's wild.
And in the past 3 years, all of a sudden, people can hold their breath for 15 minutes. And
it's, I think it's all based on what the, I mean, I know a lot of people listening tonight will probably be like, ah, that's not possible. But I do think that it's all about the limitations that we create. If I create limitations in my head that says I'm never going to do something, guess what? I'll never do something. It'll never come to pass.
Ultimately making you unhappy.
And I'll probably sabotage myself in the process because that's what I'm doing, right? So mm-hmm. I'm sabotaging myself. I'm undercutting myself. And I'm perceiving the fact that I have major limitations. And like just the person you were talking about just a second ago that's born with no limbs. I mean, that's a big deal. And a lot of people would take that as a death sentence. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would just, you know, figure out how they could just basically live in their bed and they'd consider it their deathbed and just figure out how they could wallow away for the time that they have and then eventually die. I mean, you know, I know people that have way less situations than that and on a daily basis can't even get out of bed.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people that actually fight the sunlight. They wow. fight it. They will actually close every blind and they have blackout drapes and they've actually gone to great extent to black out all the sun, okay? And it's not until like their kid or somebody comes in that opens it up and they're like, no! Wow. But at the same point in time, they have to make a move. They have to change, you know? Mm-hmm. But they're fighting and they're honestly fighting being happy.
It's such a crazy fight because it makes no sense, you know? And ultimately, you're going to lose because the whole purpose, if not my purpose in life, is to achieve fulfillment through my, you know, achieving my destiny, which is doing the best that I can with my talents and the circumstances that I'm given. But those egotistical people bring another big player into the question, which is blame. They start blaming everybody. They start blaming themselves. But most importantly, other people. And when they do that, then, you know, it just causes a backslash where other people, you know, start resenting them in a way. And
well, they start blaming other people for their unhappiness and they don't even take acceptance of themselves. Mm-hmm. You're totally right on that. And, you know, that's a really interesting way of thinking about it because, I mean, don't you know people that have blamed other people for something one way or another? You know, oh, I know that you did this or you caused mm-hmm. that. But when you really look at it, you have to analyze that you're the one that made the choice. Mm-hmm. I've done things in my past that I'm not that happy about. However, I look back and at first I was very angry at the person that was involved at the same situation with me. But then I realized that at one point in time, I had to make the acceptance and I had to give in. Wow. I had to agree to do this, you know? And so it's not like that person had a gun to my head telling me that I had to do this. And so there I went blaming that person for my anger and my unhappiness when in actuality it was really based upon me.
And perception really is everything. For example, I choose to believe in something greater, you know? I choose to believe that we are part of something much bigger and we're connected and we're just little pieces putting the whole puzzle together. And if you think about that, then you... Let me ask you this question, for example. Ashley, did you ever ask to be born?
I think so.
You asked to be born?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, God, what's up? I'm going to be born looking great like I do.
Woo!
With this amazing voice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think to some degree, and I know this might sound a little odd and metaphysical, and maybe a little an offshoot to some people, but I do think that we have a choice to come on to this earth. I think that we choose to come in, and I even think you go a step further and you choose who you come in with.
Wow. That's interesting.
Think about the concepts of like you actually chose the fact that your mom, you know, had these issues and that your dad had these issues and knowing that you had to overcome these certain things. That's interesting. And understanding maybe the dynamic that would be part of that and how hard that might be difficult to overcome. But then I think it depends on the soul depth as well. Mm. Like, what are you trying to learn?
Well, yeah, I mean, for me, time is limitless, you know, but for us humans, we have a birth date and a day that we die. And it's that dash in between that represents our life. And I don't really know what happened before and I don't really know what's going to happen after. But the reality for me is that I didn't choose to be born. I didn't choose to be look the way I do. I didn't choose to be born in the amazing family I was born or over the family that they have. I was blessed, you know. Many people don't choose, or actually nobody, in my opinion, chooses. So if you think about it that way and you think about that you're connected to something bigger, you begin to appreciate the moment that you're given because it's a gift. The next moment is also a gift. So you know how they say opportunities come once in a lifetime? Well, I don't believe that because every moment is another opportunity.
I agree with you. I mean, I agree that every moment is an opportunity, but I do think if we go back to this concept of perception and assumption, I think that a lot of times we assume that other people have more of an opportunity. I think we assume that other people have a better life. We assume that everybody else has better gifts, more interesting things, that God bestowed better stuff on them than they did you.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that a lot of times we go through life with the blame and the judgment, mm-hmm. you know, the blame game and the judgment game and dealing with that. And I think that that comes second nature because of the way that we're raised. And I'm not talking about the way that your parents necessarily raise you, but our environment and the way that media is, as well as the way that, you know, we're taught to believe in these perceptions, in the look of people, into only what we hear, not what people do.
Mm-hmm. And just to tie it in, Steve Gutier, he's a writer. My mom likes him. He says, an important decision I was made to resist playing the blame game. The day I realized that I am in charge of how I will approach problems in life, that the things will turn out better or worse because of me or no one else, that was the day that I knew that I was going to become a much happier and healthier person. And that was the day that I knew that I could truly build life that matters, or life that matters. And this is in one of his books that he writes, where he talks about the journey of life and how it, for him, took a drastic or very traumatic event for him to change his life around. So that's another concept that we can even explore, is like, are your curses that you think so really curses? Are the disappointments in your life really disappointments? Or if you let it play out and then you see back into it once time goes by, was it actually a curse or was it a blessing? Now look how blessed you are at the moment.
Well, it's kind of like the concept of, did you dodge a bullet, right? You know, when people talk about dodging a bullet when it comes to marriage or having a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, being left at the altar or, you know, or calling off a wedding. And some people see that as one of the biggest curses they could ever have, one of the worst things that could ever happen in their entire life. But then later on, normally it always comes to fruition that indeed it was one of the best things and blessings that could have happened. So stay tuned. We return. We're going to be talking more about perception as well as the ability to let go of low self-esteem. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we're talking about what gets in the way of our honest happiness. You know, and right before the break, we were talking about perception and assumption, and how a lot of times we perceive other people having a better life, having better gifts, having more things bestowed upon them, whereas apparently the angels just opened up the heavens and gave them all these gifts that we apparently didn't get. You know, a lot of times we make assumptions that other people's lives are better, that, you know, well, we'll be happy if we have their life. If we could just get their life, maybe we'll be happier. But because we're in our life sucks and we're very unhappy. And so it's all based on these assumptions, thinking that everybody's life is better and that if you could just have their life, you would be happier.
That's absolutely false in a way. And the only way to kind of put that into contrast is putting a person that had everything and then putting a person that didn't, or putting a person that had everything and gave it up. And I personally have a testimony of my brother. He was, he's 2 years older than me. He's a superstar soccer player. He played professional here, MLS, and he was a stud. He was the Kappa Sig fraternity dude, bro, brother that everybody wanted to be around. Everything. He had everything. My parents gave him money, this, and that. You know what? Can you believe that a semester before a year before he was going to graduate, he decided that he was not feeling fulfilled with his life, which anybody would have said, Andres, the coolest person in life? No way. And he decided to take off from one day to the next, blank, like bonkers. He decided to take off to the West Coast and live out life how it's really meant to be in his perception now, facing the struggles of life, you know, where am I going to eat? Where am I going to sleep? And through that journey is that he eventually, after 2 years of sleeping with the homeless, you know, not having somewhere to stay, is that he became he is on his path now to become a Catholic priest.
Wow.
But if you contrast his life, you see in one side, he was at the top And, you know, of what people would say, he must be so happy. But in reality, he was living a fictitious life, because when you seek the pleasures of the flesh from time to time, they sometimes ultimately leave you more empty because they're not attached to the magnitude of the soul, quieting your mind and divinity. Therefore, you make your mind opaque and you, you know, confuse your mind process into realizing what truth and happiness really is. But I see him now, too, where he used to be before, and he shaved his head like a monk. He let his unibrow grow. He looks a completely different person, but he chose happiness with his actions, drastic change, and now he's the happiest person ever. You could see that he chose happiness through sacrifice. He chose happiness through giving himself to other people, and through, you know, being happy with things that most people aren't, which is just air, food, water, shelter. Those basic things can make someone very, very happy.
That's really interesting, because it's named Andreas, you said?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you have Andreas' situation where, from the outside looking in, everything's perfect. He goes to school. He's the jock. He's, you know, the guy that every girl's running after, I'm assuming. And everybody wants to hang out with, and in the whole interim of the whole situation, you know, he's not being himself, but people are making judgment calls thinking that he's got to be this. He's like the best. He's the coolest. His life is so awesome. And it's not until he departs from all these limitations, mm-hmm. which some people would see riches. It just depends on the way we look at things. Mm-hmm. And he was able to find happiness. And I think that is what, you know, I'm talking about tonight, basically on perception, because a lot of times we perceive people to be very happy because of material items. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, they have a 150-foot yacht, so they have to be very happy. Oh, they have 8 kids. They have to be happy. You know, they have this, they have that, they have this, they have that. And it's like, you know, a lot of times we have to step back and say, what are we doing? Because a lot of times we're actually putting that decision on them based on what we want,
yes.
or based on what we think is opportunity or is really true happiness. When in actuality, those things and all those excess kids, it doesn't produce happiness.
At the Institute of St. Mary's in Austin, they studied what could make people happy. And they did all kinds of different range tests, but the one that caught my eye is they put this person who's had everything in life, and it was snowing that day, and they put him outside, and it was snowing, and it was really cold, so therefore he's very unhappy, and they kept him there for 6 hours, and he had to just survive out there. The whole time for him, having had everything, having had the luxuries and comfort of the home and of, you know, cars and cell phones, he obviously gone from one side to the other with a perception that, you know, not having those things would make him unhappy. Yes, he went through that experiment very unhappy. But then, very unexpectedly, they said, hey, do you want to come in? We have a soup, hot soup, and we have a fire, and we have a blanket. Would you like to come in? He's like, of course. And in that moment, he realized that he found happiness with such little things. Things that he had and he would take for granted, which is food, shelter, you know, a blanket, and, you know, company.
Right.
In that instant, he realized, wow, you know, happiness is not exactly the bling, the cars, you know, the watches, the 100-foot yacht they were talking about. It's having the essentials that we need to survive, and most importantly, having someone to share them with.
It's true. I think that objects sometimes can get in the way of our happiness, and I like to use an example, and I haven't used this in a while, but I like to use the example of being at the club in the VIP area. And having a VIP table, I like to use it as that tonight. And so for everybody listening that's not been in the club scene for a long time, let me take you up to speed real quick. And these nightclubs, normally, you know, we have these clubs and you have the bars and you have the places where you can stand. But nowadays, in this particular bars, the only place that you can sit down is to actually buy a table. Okay, and so you have to buy a table, which means that you have to have liquor service. So you got to buy an alcohol, you got to buy a bottle of alcohol. Okay, so let's say you buy that bottle of Kettle One, you got all the drinks, you got all the mixers, you got five or six of your friends come and sit down at that table with you. You're sitting down on the couch and you're hanging out. Well, this is where this is a very interesting scenario comes into play, is because you have all these other people that are at the club that have to stand. They have to stand and there's no sitting down. But it's funny how everybody in the VIP area is always looking at the people that aren't in the VIP area. And the other funny thing about it is that every time I look at the VIP area, anytime I've ever been in it, we're never really talking to each other because we're always too busy looking what everybody else is doing because we feel that we have been like stuck to this table. And the other funny thing is that anytime that you want to leave the table, everybody goes, well, what are we going to do with the table? We got to leave the table now. Okay, so does somebody need to stay at the table? Because we got to stay at the table because we got the alcohol here and somebody might take the alcohol and everybody's got their belongings here. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to leave the table because if we leave the table, somebody else might sit at the table. And so now you are literally anchored to this table that you really don't want to be at anymore, but you have the table and everybody in the other area wants that table.
Oh, I see.
The funniest thing about life is that everybody wants what they don't have until they really accept the fact that they have all that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the key. It's like everybody that wants short hair has long hair, and everybody with the long hair wants the short hair, and everybody wants something opposite until they actually realize that what they have is worthy.
Yes.
And that's what I always think is funny, because I've been on both sides of that table, in the VIP and not in the VIP, and in both occasions, I wanted to be the other place that I wasn't at.
And I think that it's become such a cultural shift lately, this past, let's say, 50 years, where propaganda came to the max, and we were taught and we were raised by the TV, and now we have all these imprinted ideas that happiness comes from accumulation. But you know what? If you trace back in history, Aristotle says that sin comes about from the comfort of the flesh. What he's trying to say is that when your flesh is too comfortable, you begin to depart from reality. You don't see it vividly because you are stuck in a dream reality. Some people may call it the matrix, which is accumulate. And when that becomes widely spread and widely adopted, we see the struggles where we see us currently today in the world. Some nations accumulate too much, while some nations don't have anything. Some people have way too much, while some people don't have anything. And the truth is that if you have a $1 billion mansion, you can only sleep in one bed at a time. You can only put one shirt at a time. Why do you need 20,000 beds while there's people that are sleeping on the floor, you know?
I agree with that. And I think it's interesting, though. I like to use that word saddled up, because a lot of times, the more things we have, the more saddled we are to things. And there was a story I heard recently where they were talking about, you know, I had a friend of mine that was working in hospice care, and there was a gentleman that was in hospice care, and he apparently had quite a bit of money. And she was talking about how, you know, he even made the comment, I can't believe this, but, you know, I'm never going to be asking for my, you know, my Rolls Royce key. I am not going to ever look to get into that car again. I mean, I would like to just live a few more days, you know.
Wow.
And it really puts it in perspective when you think about that, because all of a sudden, all this perceiving that we've been doing this whole time, and the reason why, and I like to express this again, the reason why I call this perspectives, because perspectives is based on truth. Mm-hmm. Perception is based on our mind-made limitations and mind-made reality that we've created, much of which is never true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we perceive people to have all this greatness, when in actuality, by perceiving their greatness, we actually feel like we have less. So stay tuned. We're going to talk more about having low self-esteem and being able to overcome that, as well as the ability to understand ourselves in order to find true and rich happiness. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, back this time in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we're talking about what gets in the way of us finding true and honest happiness. And, you know, right before the break, we were beginning about to start on talking about what it means to understand when we have low self-esteem and how that really combats happiness. And I know for a fact, anytime that you have low self-esteem, or you're feeling low, or you're feeling down about yourself, it's hard to feel happy. If we're feeling depressed about the things that we've done or things that we've created or the things we haven't created, better yet, we get down. We get depressed. We start finding unhappiness at every corner. And I think this is quite relevant, because with low self-esteem, it's harder for people to feel that they're even happy.
Yes, and Einstein once said, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll spend its whole life thinking it's stupid.
See, that's awesome.
See, you can't expect to all of a sudden develop an opera voice just because your friend sings opera. You know, you can't all of a sudden expect to have this six-pack without work, at least, when your friend has perfect DNA and has chiseled abs, you know? These are all talents that can be developed, but certain people have the capacity to develop them in ways that, you know, make people so wanting to see them and things like that, and they gain success from it. But, you know, you have to recognize your own talents. You got to recognize your own abilities and your own limitations, and... You know, there's certain things that the mind is capable of doing, and there's certain things that it needs more training. But you need to take those specific steps and stop being so jealous. There's no point of looking at other people and blaming them for your failure.
And yeah, and I agree with that, as well as, you know, the whole self-esteem concept. A lot of that is, a lot of the thing is actually all together. It's all linked. You know, our perception of others and how much better they are really lowers our self-esteem. And I challenge, for the younger demographic tonight, I challenge them to slow down on social media, to realize when Instagram has gotten them, you know, between the eyes and is convincing them that they have a better life than they do. When they're convinced that this person's life is so much better than mine. For the more of the demographic that's my age, consider the fact that, you know, when we perceive people to have more than what we have, or to be more successful, or to be more liked, or whatever it is, I mean, think about it the other way around. You never know what that person's thinking. Wow. You know, they could be competing with you directly.
You touch home, because at least with the social media comment, because social media is such a prevalent part of life. It's such a important aspect if you want to succeed in business nowadays. Everybody has social media and everybody's active, but it also creates a false reality out there. And I see it, because I see so many of my friends that are so stuck up on the way that they make themselves see, or they make others see them, by posting pictures of certain, doing certain activities that other people would be jealous. You know, now you're thinking about, how is that person going to think that I'm enjoying this moment, rather than how am I enjoying the moment? And so perhaps you missed the conversation. Perhaps you missed an opportunity to meet somebody. And you know what? That opportunity will be gone, you know? And social media right now is such a huge deal, especially like this whole fitness thing that's going on. It makes me wonder, like, is it a trend, or is it really like people are just so happy to be so fit and posting selfies all the time? You know, who are they really doing it for? I mean, it's a good thing that people are healthy. You know, that's an awesome thing. But at the end of the day, what is it making you that much happier? Is it making you fulfilled, at least? You know, perhaps that's your dream and that's your goal. But fulfillment is so much more than just looking good. Fulfillment is something from internal, that's internal. And you gain from knowledge, you gain from experience, accompanied with physical balance, mental balance, and emotional balance.
Well, I agree with that too. And also, you know, just a sidebar, you know, I know there's been a lot, yeah, there's a lot of fitness stuff going on too, you're right. And I believe that it's really awesome to be healthy. But again, you know, healthy and looking the part are two different things sometimes. You know, I mean, sometimes the person that has all the chisel abs and the entire body and the whole package and their legs are, you know, as round as your head. you know, might not be as healthy as we think, you know, and we make these perceptions and we base upon, like, for example, I know a lot of men, they get really down at the gym because they don't have the same amount of muscle mass. And they go, God, and they work and they work and they work hard, work hard. They keep doing more. And they still can't get to the level that they look at these people that are doing it. And then eventually one day it all comes to pass where that person looks at them and says, hey, man, you know, are you on steroids? I mean, I can help you out with some steroids. I mean, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but man, I see you all the time. You're not getting any bigger, you know. I mean, and are you taking any? Because I mean, you got to probably take that to get to the next level. Now, that's not always the case, but a lot of times we make assumptions on ourselves that we aren't good enough, based on we think that everything's just on the up and up. When in actuality, you would have to have, you know, Superman stuff. You know, you have to have like this extra oomph that's not of human to take you to the next level.
And are they basing their happiness based on how many likes they get?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Are they basing their happiness based on how many followers they get? And not to mention that buying followers is like the easiest thing to do nowadays. So the reality out there is fake, guys. The reality of the world is outside your your bedroom, outside your house. It's in the playgrounds. It's in the flowers. It's in the ocean. It's in the breeze. It's in the clouds. It's in the touch that you give your brother, your sister, the kiss you give your mom. That is what life is about. It's about how to survive, how to make sure you survive well. You know, you don't necessarily need too much, but you need the basic human needs. And like, for example, I saw this article today. The CEO of Nestle, he said that he came out saying and supporting, and he's lobbying towards making water become privatized. So it's no longer a human right. It's just, oh, well, if you have the money, you can have access to water. While this guy owns natural reserves in Paraguay, I know Nestle for a fact, they dislocated indigenous people in Paraguay, and they took the largest source of natural water in all of South America, and they're selling it back to their people. So this is the kind of criminal enterprise these people are getting into. And then they turn around and tell us that we don't have the right to drink water.
Wow. That's wild. I had no idea.
That's a case of somebody's darkness impeding everybody else's happiness. Because the reality is that we don't have access to water, foods, or the basic needs, we'll go nuts. There'll be chaos on the streets in a matter of seconds. People will be, you know, bursting into people's house just for basic needs. Because what wouldn't you do for your daughter? What wouldn't you do for your brother? What wouldn't you do for your mom? Ultimately, it's all for love, because you're protecting your own. But out of desperation, when people really corral you and put you against the wall, you know, and extinguish your fire, that's something that's happening so much in society right now. And you can kind of see now that the light and the shine and the originality of people has become blended through all these alternatives, you know, social media, this and that, which is supposed to make us more original. We're all trying to still blend in.
Oh, that's true. And I think that goes to the next point, the idea of the ability to understand ourselves. And I think that when we're able to understand ourselves, when we're able to understand who we are and consciously at what level we stand for and what we stand for, what we believe in, what we do not believe in, what we will not accept, I think at that point in time, you know, criminal actions of those sorts wouldn't be taking place. I mean, you know, taking from people that don't have anything wouldn't be taking place. On the flip-flop, trying to fit in, trying to either be the most popular or the wallflower based on the situation wouldn't be an issue anymore. Because if you realize who you are and you understand that acceptance actually is just about your acceptance. Mm-hmm. So if you don't accept yourself, nobody else will. You know how we always hear that, you know, that I comment about, you know, if you believe it, then it's true, you know, fake it till you make it, all that kind of stuff. But if you don't believe that you're worthy, nobody's going to believe you're worthy either.
Just like the guy with no limbs, he believes that he can achieve anything and everything. And what's going to stop him? Himself. Acceptance and gratitude, to me, are the key to things that you should embrace if you want to be happy. You got to be grateful for just the fact that you're alive, you know, that because tomorrow you're not promised. Like I said, yesterday it's already gone. You only have right now, and the fact that your heart's beating right now, it's a gift. And when you begin to see your life as a gift, every single moment is a gift. Every single moment is an opportunity. Every single moment is a chance to be grateful. Therefore, you start seeing life more happy. You know, my struggles, it's just part of my life. It's just part of, and you know what? How about we learn some patience? Talk about learning to develop yourself. Well, in controversy is when you learn how to come out of it. You become stronger. You learn patience. You learn how to listen better. You learn how to speak better. You learn how to control your nerves better. What would we be without disgraces from time to time?
And are they really just disgraces, you know? And I think it's all based on the expectations of how we expect things to happen. And I think once we're able to eliminate those expectations, stop with the perceptions of others, realize when we're making judgment calls on others and ourselves, we're able to be happy because we're not defining what happiness has to be. You know, we constantly go into that arena where we define happiness based on this finite idea of what we believe happiness is. And it's really sad because it's got to have this requirement and it's got to conform to this, and we have to go get the permits to be happy. And if we don't have this permit, then I can't be happy and I'm not allowed to do this. And this is all in your mind and your mind's going to blow up. When in actuality, you just allow it to be. Mm-hmm. And we allow ourselves to be. Guess what being is? Being is being happy. You're actually happy. You're in the moment when you're being. It's only when we take ourselves out of the moment, we go to the past, we go to the future, and we look for acceptance from others instead of accepting ourselves is when we find unhappiness.
And if somebody wants to find, just get a like an energy shot of happiness, just help somebody. You know, like there's an old lady walking the street, get out of your car and help her walk across the street. That's an energy shot of, that's a red line of happiness. Or that's go cool. Feed the homeless. That is like meth of happiness. Like if you want to be extra happy, do things for other people. Like just kind of like the saying, like, am I getting more from you for giving you things, or am I receiving more from giving you things? And ultimately, it's a matter of trying it. It's a matter of a trial and error and go try, do things. But ultimately, I know that if you go help somebody, you will get a little bit more perspective on why it is that you can or cannot be happy.
I love that. And Juan, for everybody that's listening tonight, Juan is the creator of TruthNet Media, truthnetmedia.com. And, you know, we've been working on some projects together. And yes, I agree with you. If you want to be happier and you want to be more content and you want to realize that, help other people that have less than you. But also remember, that's all perception. What is less than you might not be actually less than you. Understand that when we perceive people to have more or less, we make judgment and we take ourselves out of immediate happiness by trying to define it and put it into a certain box. We have a great show for you tomorrow night. Stay tuned. And Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.